Today's daf is daf Pei Beis, the very last daf in Maseches Kiddushin, the last daf in Seder Nashim. So let's get moving. We left off yesterday in the middle of the Yichud Sugya. We got to the two dots toward the bottom of daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, but there was something I wanted to go back to. I said I'd go back to, which is the Gemara had mentioned that while a person is allowed to have Yichud with his sister and a person is allowed to have Yichud with his mother, there's a slightly different heter for each of them. But vidar im imo. A person is allowed to have yichud with his sister, but it's more than yichud that you're allowed to have with your mother or with your daughter. Vidar im imo v'imbito. You're allowed to live with your mother and with your daughter. What's the difference between a heter to be misyachid and a heter to live with them? I mean, apparently you're not allowed to live with your sister, but what's the definition of living with your sister versus having yichud with your sister? So Rashi says, vidar im imo v'imbito. Misyachid machoso, says Rashi, leprakim. Misyachid machoso means on occasion. Aval eno dar tamid biyichud etzla bebayis. But you can't have yichud with her constantly in the house. So again, exactly how do we define that? Let's say parents have two children, one boy, one girl. So are the parents not allowed to go on vacation? Are they not allowed to go out for dinner? Are they allowed to go out for dinner, just not consistently? They can't leave the children alone. What exactly is the parameters of tamid etzla babayis, that the brother and sister are not allowed to be alone together constantly? So there are a couple of tshuvas in the Achronim relating to this topic. Rav Vosner in his tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Chelek He, Simon Eben Ezer Simon Reish Aleph, writes that when it comes to this heter of yichud with your sister, He quotes from a tshuva of Rav Meir Arik, from the Imre Yosher, where he wanted to suggest that the definition of kavius is always 30 days. That a person is, when we say that something is kavua, we always assume that it's 30 days. And the Imre Yosher brings a raya to this, because he says the Gemara, the Mishnah in Yevamos, and Daf Kufir Alf and Bey says, Ad Lamed Yom Kofen Lachlotz, Lach Lamed Yom Mevakshen Lachlotz. That up until 30 days we force someone to do Chalitza, after that we are only Mevakesh, we don't force. Why? So the Mishnah is a svar, Da Ad Lamed Yom Ukim Inish Anafshe, V'loba'al Afilu B'makom Heter Mitzvah. That it's possible for a person to hold himself back from his Yetzer Hara for the first 30 days. But after 30 days, the Yetzer Hara sort of gets the best of you. And therefore, so if that's the case when it comes to someone where there's a mitzvah and a heter to have bia with in case of yibum, so perhaps the Yetzer Hara also starts to kick in only after 30 days, called the chomer, of someone that it's aser for you, so probably you could at least stand 30 days, stand up to the Yetzer Hara. So for a sister, he would think that the definition of tamid and kvius, at least the Imre Yosher thinks the definition of tamid and kvius is 30 days. But Rav Vosner doesn't like it. He says, Mikol makom ledina tzarech iyun im nismach al agon bazeh. He says, still, it's a big tzarech iyun by me if we can rely on the Imre Yosher for this. The Lashna Shas, the Misyachid Adam Machoso Vidar Imimo, Mashma Yoser Kamashmo Sabe Shmuel, the Rak Lefi Sha'a Lo Afilu Dira Kviyah Shalamid Yom. That meaning the Lashon of the Gemara sounds like it's only mutter for a very short period of time. And even living together for 30 days is not good. And he says that the main difference between living together and privately is, he says, Yishlom deikra hevdel ben dira bebayis ata ita shezeh gedur yichud shel keva lebein derech yichud shelo kederech dira. He says that anything that would be considered keva would be problematic. Anything that's not considered keva would not be problematic. So again, but what's the? How do we define keva? How do we define any of this? So Rav Vosner thinks that 3 days is a fair amount of time. He thinks that by three days it's already called a certain sense of kvius. But so he thinks that a brother and sister could be left alone for 3 days, not longer. Rav Moshe has a tshuva also, and Rav Moshe writes, when it comes to heter yichud da'achim achoso, where the Gemara says that there's a difference between the mother and the sister, that with the mother you're allowed to live together, with the sister you're not, he says that anyone who wants to suggest 30 days is incorrect. He says 30 days is a din by if you roa the yama gadol, if you see the yama gadol. So how, when do you make a bracha if you haven't seen it in 30 days? If you see a friend after 30 days, make shachem. 30 days is a time frame where a person is going to be impressed by something they haven't seen in a while or something like that. But 30 days has absolutely nothing to do with our topic over here. So Rav Moshe says. He says that the real definition when it comes to the brother and sister is going to be, when do people say that they're living together? Meaning, at what point do you look at the situation and say, oh, this guy is having his sister over for as a guest, and when do you say, I think that guy moved in with his sister. I think they're living in the same. So as soon as it starts to look like it's not a normal guest arrangement, that's where it becomes problematic. But if a guy lives in New York and his sister lives in California, and she comes in to visit for a week, and it's normal for a guest to come visit for a week, so then they can stay for a week, then it's no problem. But if it's not normal for her to come to visit for 6 months, right, then it obviously doesn't look like it's just a visit. Then it looks like they just share an apartment. So once it looks like they're living in the same apartment, that's when it becomes a problem, Rav Moshe says. Then Rav Moshe writes, "Va'ach va'achol shein adayin bebeis avien." What about a brother and sister who are still in their parents' home? Shalchor kivin shem regilim tuva ve'imdarim yachad biskarvus gadola. He says, since they're always together, they're very close, brother and sister living in the parents' home are always alone together. Lo rak bizmanenu, and he says, it's not just in our times that brothers and sisters are very close. Elegam bizmanatanam v'amuraim kum furish besotadaf mem gimelim be. It's interesting, it's classic of Moshe, something that's obviously intuitive, that brothers and sisters growing up in the same house, that they're going to be alone a lot. He says, yeah, it's enough in the Gemara, it's sota mem gimelim beis, that brothers and sisters are close. Mashama Rabbi Yisrael Gover M'yachum Mishum B'loz M'nyakov B'churgis HaGedele Ben Achin Asali Nasal Achin, that if an adopted sister grows up in the family, she's not allowed to marry one of the brothers, the Mechzi Kiyachtayu, because it looks like she's a sibling. Harish Achin V'yachin Asali Gedele M'nyachin B'vayis Echad V'loy Nasar M'yichud. So you see that brothers and sisters would grow up in the same house. Parents wouldn't be machmir to have two separate homes, one for the boys and one for the girls. So that was always the minhag. So kumuvan shegam kishenishru bebayis rak ach v'achos yichidim namir yidarim yachad bebayis echad. And he says we don't ever find that it depends on the size of the family. That if they only had one boy, one girl, then they would always separate them. But if they had a larger family and there was more than one and one, then it would be okay. No, they always allowed the son and daughter to stay together. Even though, granted, at night they sleep in two different rooms, and by the way, that wasn't always necessarily the case. Right? If you read even the tshuvas of the early Achronim, it seemed like the whole family slept in many places, the whole family slept in the same room. But even if they were in different rooms, they're together a lot of times. And still, people aren't choshesh to go to a simcha, to go on a trip or something, to go on a little vacation, and to leave their children alone. So he says, that in a normal situation, brother and sister, there is no taiva. He says, even when a brother and sister hug and kiss each other, there's no sense of taiva, there's no sense of arayos, that type of taiva. There's no hana'a. And that's often a Rambam, the famous Rambam that everyone quotes to say how the brother's not allowed to hug and kiss the sister. It's true, the Rambam says that, but not before the Rambam acknowledges that there's absolutely no taiva or yetzer hara when you hug and kiss sister, right? The Rambam writes, "Hamachabek achas min arayos she'in libo shlodim nokfalein." If a person hugs one of the arayos who you have no yetzer hara for, o shenashak achas min, or you kiss one of them, kigon achosa gedola, his either older sister or gedola sister, va'achos imo, and his aunt, u'chayotziben, afal pi she'in shem taiva v'lo hana'a klal. Says the Rambam, there's no taiva, there's no hana'a. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes, "Harei meguna bioser." It's disgusting. V'davar ze aser hu ma'isa tipshim hu, and this is aser, and it's a ma'isa tipshim. So it's unclear when the Rambam says aser in that context. Does he mean halachically aser? Does he mean that it's just really inappropriate? From the context, it sounds like it means really inappropriate, because normally when something is let's say, an Isra Daraisa or an Isra Drabanan, so you wouldn't have to throw in the Maisa Tipshim and Maguna Biyoser. So it sounds like he just has a very, very strong distaste for it, that it's that is very inappropriate. Shein Craven the Erva Klalbin Gadolbin Kanan Chutzmeyam Libnava Avlabito. He says you're not supposed to have such closeness with Erva, so he thinks that it's not appropriate. What does Rav Moshe take out of that? That there's no taiva with the sister. So he says, V'kolshke shiskavir shalem l'yuglam shum taiva v'hir. So certainly if even hugging and kissing isn't going to cause taiva and hear her, then certainly being b'yichud with them. V'rak b'yichud b'layla b'sheina b'ayis echad z'man gadol yishlacho sh'yakol b'einayu af hisrachkus ha'tivi sh'nas halidei tfil san sh'knes ha'gadolah. He says, clearly what you have to assume is that the Yetzer Hara will only kick in if brother and sister are living together for an extended period of time without other people there. The fact that they're living in a normal family environment, and sometimes the parents are away, and sometimes parents go away for a day or two, and sometimes that's not going to cause that Yetzer Hara to come back. This Yetzer Hara, according to the Gemara, I believe it's, where's the Gemara? Yuma? That this Yetzer Hara was shechted, right? The Gemara famously says that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah went and they killed the Yetzer Hara, they davened and the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah went away, and they said, hey, that's a seems to be working, this idea of getting rid of the Yetzer Hara. So they wanted to get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Arayos, but then they realized, so they locked it up for a few days to see what would happen. And the 3 days that they locked up the Yetzer Hara for Arayos, so not a single chicken laid an egg, and there was no Tashmish in the whole world, and obviously they saw the world couldn't continue that way. So instead they knocked out one of its eyes. What does it mean they knocked out one of its eyes? So the Gemara says they took away the taiva for relatives. That's what they were able to accomplish. They took away the taiva for relatives. So Rav Moshe says to overcome that, the fact that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah took away that taiva, it would take us an extended period of time for brother and sister to be together. So he says absolutely no problem. Parents leave the kids alone in the house. That's a normal situation. That's not problematic at all. Okay, anyway, moving on to the Gemara. So we're at the two dots. Higdilu Zayashim B'Ksuso. So the Mishnah had said that when the children get a little bit older, so they could still sleep in the same bed with the parents, but they got to each wear clothing. V'kama, how old? Amravada Baraz, Amravasi, Tinokas Pastei Shonu Yamechad, Tinok Ben Shemes Rishonu Yamechad, a girl at the age of 9, a boy at the age of 12. Ikadami Tinokas Pastei Shemes Rishonu Yamechad, Tinok Ben Shalashas Rishonu Yamechad. Others say 12 and 13. And both of them assume that it's at a point where it's physical maturity, where the body physically matures. Amr Rafn Bar Papa Amr Rav Chisel Lo Shanu Al Sheina Bo Shalam Al Lefan of Arum. He says no, the heter to sleep in the same bed is only if she's at the stage, the child is at the stage where they're not even embarrassed to stand there naked. Avol Bo Shalam Al Lefan of Arum Aser. But once a child is at the stage where they're embarrassed to be naked, then it's going to be Aser. My time a Yetzer Al Bisha, because you know that the Yetzer Hara is starting to creep in once there's the busha of being naked. So you know that they sense that there's something about it. So the Yetzer Hara is beginning to creep in. Rav Acha Bar Abba Ikla Leber Rav Chista Chasanei. Rav Acha Bar Abba went to Rav Chista, his son-in-law's house, Shakle Lebas Barte, and Rav Acha Bar Abba took his daughter's daughter on his lap. He held her in his lap. Amarle lo sever lamar de mikdasha. So the son-in-law Rav Chista said to the father-in-law, to the grandfather of this girl, Rav Acha Bar Abba, don't you know that we gave her over for kiddushin? Meaning it's an eishes ish you're holding in your lap. You can't have an eishes ish sitting in your lap. So Amarle, so he said to him, avartala chadarav. Did you violate Rav? Dam Rav Yudam Rav Yitem Rav Lazar Asul Adam Sheikadish Bituk Shikatan Hachatag Givutam Rav Ploni Ani Rotsa. Don't you know what Rav said, that you're not allowed to give over your daughter, a daughter who's a katana, for kiddushin until she grows up and she's able to choose for herself who she wants to marry? How did you violate Rav? How could you have given her over for kiddushin? So Marnami Avarleya the Shmuel. So he says, oh yeah? Well, you violated Shmuel. Dam Rav Shmuel in Mishtamshim Biisha, that you're not allowed to be Mishtamish Biisha. So you shouldn't have have contact with the little girl. So you also violated something. So by the way, we just to recall, Tosas earlier in the Masechta said even though that you're not allowed to give over your daughter kshikitana, Tosas said that the minhag apparently in times of the Rishonim was ma'isim b'chol yom. People would give over their daughter for kiddushin when they were katanos. And Tosas says that the heter was that because the matzav was so difficult in terms of parnasa, in terms of being able to provide a dowry, it was in the the girl's best interest, the only way she's ever going to get married is if the father gives her over whenever he has the ability to do so, because if he waits, then they would never get married. So that was the times of the Rishonim. But in the times of the Gemara, it was unacceptable to give a daughter over as a katana. So he said back to him, yeah, but why are you holding her on your lap? So I'm like, anakidach Shmuel Sfirli. He says, I held like the other day on Shmuel. Damar Shema, kol l'shem Shemayim. The Shmuel says, kol l'shem Shemayim, meaning as long as you're l'shem Shemayim and you don't have that kind of taiva or that kind of thought when you're holding your granddaughter on your lap, so then it's not a problem. Right? The top Rashi, vein da'at yachareha l'chibas ishus. It's not the kind of love I'm showing. Meaning the kind of love I'm showing my granddaughter is not a chibas ishus, el chibas kurva. It's showing that I have a sense of love that you would have for a relative. V'lasos koras ruach li'ima k'shani mechaviv izbita. And it makes my daughter very happy when my daughter sees that I love her children, that I go out of my way to show to express fondness for her children. So that's what I'm doing. And that's what the Tosa says on the top. That's what we rely on nowadays, that we're mishtamish binashim. So again, obviously, within reason, when it comes to one's granddaughter, so there's no problem with holding one's young granddaughter on their lap or something like that. But not all of the things that Chazal we find Amoraim took liberties with are we allowed to necessarily. Meaning, the Gemara Ksubis, for instance, says, but when it comes to being Mesameach Chasan V'Kala, one of the Amoraim took the Kala up on his shoulders. So even then, the Gemara says that the Talmidim asked him, can we do that? That looks like fun. That looks like something we would want to do, to take the Kala up on our shoulders. And he said, no, you can't do that. It's only for me, because when I'm holding her, it's like I'm holding a beam. I don't have any sense of Taivar Yetzer or harder for her at all. So as the Sefer HaChinuch comments also, that when it comes to these issues, these men-women issues, so there's an absolute iser to have kalas rosh with an eshes ish, with someone else's wife, and it's certainly discouraged in Chazal not to even be mar besicha, not to even talk a little too much, but certainly kalas rosh is absolutely aser. And he says a lot of people are more heter for themselves in these types of areas, and they say, nah, it's not a problem, it's a different type of friendship, it's okay, whatever, and people are more heter for themselves in these areas, and he says, harbe nichshalim, people are more heter, and they always stumble, it always comes back to haunt them when people are more heter for themselves in these types of areas. But anyway, when it comes to family members, though, Chazal say that we shechted the Yetzer Hara for family members, so we could take obviously a lot of liberties that we can't take with non-family members are permitted with family members. That was a whole discussion in the Achronim by yesterday's Gemara with the daughter-in-law, right? That one of the Amoraim said Hizarbi mipnei kalasi. I don't want to even have yichud the daughter-in-law. And Ligli galavos the Talmud. The Talmud laughed at him and mocked him. Come on, what's the matter with the daughter-in-law? So the discussion in the Achronim, does that mean that it's taka mutar have yichud with the daughter-in-law? Meaning the Talmud was laughing at him. So why was the Talmud laughing? What would the Havamina be to laugh at him if it was Asur Rev Yichud with the daughter-in-law? So the Rosh Hashtaka says, yeah, the Yetzer Hara was shechted for Krovim, including daughter-in-law and any of these things. But the post can point out that it's not necessarily a heter yichud. Probably over there, the Ezer Mikodesh writes, over there it was mutar for him to have yichud with the daughter-in-law because it was Bala Be'ir. That's why the Talmud laughed at him. But still, even when it's mutter, to take the extra precautions is not was obviously the Gemara. The point of that Gemara was that it wasn't a bad idea. Okay, says the Mishnah, Lo yilamid adam ravak so, from a single guy should not teach young children. Velo tlamid isha so, from a woman should not teach young children. Rav Lazar omer afmi she'in lo isha lo yilamid so, from. Rav Lazar says, not only should a single guy not teach young children so, from, even not teach young children Torah, even someone who doesn't have a wife should not teach young children Torah. The Gemara is going to explain what's the difference between a single guy and a guy who doesn't have a wife. They sound the same. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Yira Ravak Behema, that a single guy should not shepherd animals. V'yishnu she'ravakin v'talas achas, and nor should two single guys sleep under the same cover. V'cham matirim, but the chachamim are matir, right? The chacham obviously are going to assume, the Gemara will say that normal people are not chashud on Mishkav Zachor or Mishkav Behema. So those last two would be mutter for even a single guy. So my time, what's the reason that a single guy should not teach young children. If we're afraid that he's going to mess around with the children, regular Jewish people are not assumed to mess around with Mishkav Zachar, with boys, nor with animals. So it can't be because of the children, because of the little boys. Ella ravak mishum hasad yinuke, isha mishum hasad yinuke. No, the reason, rather the issur is that when it comes to the single guy teaching children, we're afraid of the mothers of the children. The mothers are always going to be bringing the children to school, picking the children up from school. When it comes to the single girl, to the woman teaching, so the concern is the fathers. It's notable that there are two major distinctions between the girl and the guy. When it comes to the guy, we said that a single guy is not allowed to teach. When it comes to the girl, we didn't say a single girl. We said a girl, a woman, is not allowed to teach. It sounds like even if she's married and it's bala be'ir. So the Kesem Mishnah in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Beis Halacha Daled writes, yeah, even if she's married and it's bala be'ir, because the husband eventually travels. And that's why you have to worry. That's against the Kitzur Piskei Arash. Kitzur Piskei Arash says it's clearly only a single girl. We didn't need to say single girl, we said single guy, so you should realize on your own that that when we talk about a woman, we talk about a single woman. But the Kesef Mishnah clearly does not understand that way. The second chilek is, Lashon L'Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch Nebuchadnezzar Simon Chaf Beis, Se'if Chaf writes, Mi she'ein lo isha lo yilame tinokos, a man who doesn't have a wife should not teach young children. Why? L'pnei she'emos habanim ba'os l'beis ha'sefer l'bneihem, the mothers of the children come to the school for their children, and he's going to have contact with the woman, so his yetzer hara is going to be there for the women. V'chein isha lo salamit ketanim, and a woman shouldn't teach ketanim, because the fathers come for their children, and they're going to turn out to have yichud with her. So major difference. No, when it comes to the man, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it's an issue of yichud. Shulchan Aruch says that the man can't teach children, forgetting the issue of yichud, just because he's going to have too much shaychus with the mothers. The mothers are always going to be coming to bring their kids to school, pick up their kids from school, so he's going to have too much shaychus with the mothers. So the single guy can't teach the children because of just a yetzer hara issue for the mothers. But with the woman, it's an issue, a more specific issue, it's an issue of yichud. That's the specific concern. The specific halacha concern is one of yichud. I saw in Rav Moshe Sturmbach's latest Tshuva Sefer, in the fifth volume of Tshuvas Van Hagos, he has someone asked, what's the heter for a ganenet? Right, in Eretz Yisrael, they always have a woman who runs a playgroup. So what's that, right? Because it sounds over here that a woman is not supposed to teach young children because of concerns of yichud with the fathers. So he says that first of all, it could be, I don't know if he mentions this, but he said, first of all, you could say like Kitzur Piskei Arash that maybe if it's a married woman, it's not a problem in the first place. Second of all, he points out, Shulchan Aruch says it's only an issue when it's really going to be a yichud problem. But very often, the way they have these things arranged is in such a way that the door is always open for more parents to come, for someone else to walk in any minute, and it's unlikely to actually lead to a yichud problem. Or certainly, if it's in a school building, then certainly there would be no yichud problem at all. So then it would be mutter. Where the Yamshul Shlomo explains that's the chiluk that Shulchan Aruch makes, that when a man would teach young children, generally it wasn't in his house. So that's why we didn't say that the problem with the man was a yichud problem. When the woman would teach young children, it was in her house. And therefore the problem with the woman very often was a yichud problem. With the man, it's just a general yetzer hara problem. The Yamshul Shlomo also points out that another nafka mina would be how old do the children have to be for it to become mutter, right? So if it's a yichud issue, so then it's however old it is that the children would solve the problem of yichud. As long as the child's old enough to say what he saw happened, and then that would solve the problem of yichud, because you're not alone, the child is there. Also, if the issue is that the mothers are going to be dropping off the kids to school, so once the kids are able to come to school on their own, maybe there's room to argue that it would be okay at that point. However, the Nimukei Ariv on Yoridei and some Reish Mem Hei says, no, even if the kids are old enough to come to school on their own, there's still parent-teacher conferences, there's still shaychus with the parents, and you still have what to worry about if it's a single guy dealing with the mothers of the young children. Okay, anyway, so it seems that in a school setting, for the most part, it seems that right, what about teaching young girls? I don't know. Maybe it's something to be careful about. I'm not sure. I think in the school setting, there's not going to be a yichud issue. There's not going to be because in the school setting, there's just tons of people, principals walking in and out of rooms. But yeah, obviously, it's always kedai to be extra careful to create a certain amount of distance. And one of my friends, when he started teaching, was still single, and he was teaching in a girls' high school. So he asked Rav Schechter, if this happens to be a guy who went bald pretty young, and he asked Rav Schechter if he should grow a beard to make himself look older so that it shouldn't, so there should be a distance. Rav Schechter looked at his head and said, I think you have enough of distance ready. But it is something that it's always good to be a little careful about. Rav Lezer Omer Af Misha Ein Lo, so then the Mishnah said that Rav Lezer holds even someone who doesn't have a wife. So Yibayilu, Misha Ein Lo, Misha Klal Adum V'Shein Ashriyat, so it means doesn't have a wife at all, or just that she's not with him right now. So Tashma Af Misha Yeshlo Vein Ashriyat, so Lo Yilamit Sofrim. Even someone who has a wife, but his wife is out of town, should not be melamed sofrim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yira. Rabbi Yehuda says you shouldn't even shepherd animals. Tanya Omer lo Rabbi Yehuda lo nechsha yishal mishkav zachar v'la lebehema. So he said to Rabbi Yehuda, nah, Jews aren't suspected of mishkav zachar nor on behema. So you don't have such problems. But that was the issue. I mean, even the shita that says it is a problem would only say it's a problem for a single guy. The assumption is a single guy has no outlet for his yetzer hara, so we're going to have to take special extra precautions with the single guy. Right. The same with the teaching children Torah. The concern with the mothers is only with the single guy. Married guy also has the yetzer hara, but it's not the same. And since he has an outlet for his yetzer hara. Okay, says the Mishnah. Kol shasakavim anashim lo yisyachidim anashim. Anyone whose business dealings are with women should not have yichud with women. So if your business dealings aren't with women, then you're allowed to have yichud with women. What does that mean? So Rashi says no. It means lo yisyachidim anashim afilu im harbe nashim, even with a large group of women. Lefisha libo gaspahu, because you become very comfortable with them. The kulam mechapelsalav, and if you become very comfortable with the women, and the women are comfortable with you, and everyone loves this guy, he's the most wonderful seamster. I don't know, he's the most wonderful tailor, he's the most wonderful whatever it might be, hairdresser, whatever it is, and then the women love him, so they'll all cover for him. No matter what kind of business he's up to, they'll all cover for him. But a regular guy who doesn't have such a good relationship with the women, and the women aren't interested in covering for him, so he's not allowed to be alone with two women. But three women is fine, as long as he's with Avalim Shalosh or Arba Shapri Dami. If he's with three or four women, then there's no concern of anything. Right? A rabbi can give a shir for women, assuming more than three or four women come up. It's not a problem, it's not an issue of yichud when there's a large group of women there. But someone whose business is with women, that's all that it's, and the women come for him, so maybe he shouldn't give a hairdressing class to the women when there are only women present.
Those same women.
I guess. But another man would be mutter. He says, "Kashal Aram Damrlel Anashim Yibfim Anashim Bechutz Choshim Mishum Yichud Mashma Da'asul Is Yachid Anashim Harbe L'Kuli Alma." Sounds like no one's allowed to have yichud even with a lot of women. L'Chein Yer Lilo Yisachid Anashim Afilu Ishto Imo D'Shamim Le'El D'Kibin Davi Roch Halich Shash Tvei. So he says, what's the extra chumra over here for the guy who deals with women, even if his wife is around? Still, he's not allowed to be misyachid with women. Okay, the lo yilamidas adam espino umnus hanashim. The Mishnah continues: a person shouldn't teach his child a profession that deals with women a lot. A person should always teach his child a profession that is nikiya v'kala, that is clean and easy. And you should daven to the one who's really in charge of wealth. Because there is no profession where there aren't people who struggle and there aren't people who are successful. Anius min ha'umnus, la'ashiris min ha'umnus. Being poor doesn't come from the profession. Being rich doesn't come from the profession. You see lawyers that are struggling, you see lawyers that do very well. You see plumbers that are struggling, you see plumbers that have, drive two Mercedes. You see all sorts. It doesn't come from the profession per se. Ela kol lefi zechuso. Everything depends on the zechus. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, re'isim yamecha chayiv ha'of sheyesh lem umnus ve'en mesparnes shelo betzar. Have you ever seen a chayiv ha'of that has a wild animal or a bird that has a job, and still they get parnasa without having to struggle too much? And what do they put on this earth for? They're here to serve me. I'm here to serve my creator. So for sure, I should be able to get parnasa without any tsar. So why doesn't it work? But I've done bad. My actions have turned bad, and therefore I forfeited this right to easy parnasa. A person should not teach his child to be a donkey driver, a camel driver, a potter, a sailor, a shepherd, and a storekeeper, because those are things where people very frequently steal. And you're leading animals around and they go into other people's fields and things like that. You have to be very careful about these things. Most of the chamarin, most of the donkey drivers are reshaim, right? And Rashi says because of listius, because of robbery. Most of the gamalin, the camel drivers, are kosher. Why? Says Rashi, because it's a very dangerous profession. They're traveling in the desert. The desert we just discussed on Shabbos, the Birchas HaGomel, right? The desert is, traveling through the desert is considered to be an inherently dangerous thing to do. So since they're always in these dangerous conditions, so they're always praying. People who are always in a lot of danger are doing a lot of praying. So they're Ruban Ksher. Hasapanin, sailors, Ruban Chasidim. Most of them are Chasidim. Why? They're even more afraid than the camel drivers. Camel drivers going through the desert, it's even more scary to go through the sea. Tov shebaro from Gehenim, and the best of doctors are going to Gehenim. Why? Says Rashi, Eino yare min acholi ma'achol ma'achol briim, ve'enu meshaber libo l'makom, upam shahorig nefashos, v'yesh padel raposani ve'enu merapi. So that's a mouthful. Rashi just says a lot of things. He says, first of all, he's not afraid of being sick because he thinks he can cure anything. So in terms of what's going to get him on the right path, it's not going to be the same thing for a regular person. It's not going to be easy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu if normally a person gets sick, so right away they turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rofe will turn to his medicine, he's not going to right away turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Second of all, he says, a lot of times doctors kill people by accident, but they kill people sometimes. And third of all, he says, Yesh b'yadal rapos ha'ani ve'enem rapeh. If they don't have insurance, he's not gonna be merapi them. But there are people who need a refuah that he's not gonna. So it's a responsibility to be a rofe. When you're a doctor, you have if you have the ability to cure people, so you have to cure people. Tov shabro from Gehenim. I once saw somewhere, I forgot where, that someone said Tov shabro from Gehenim because the doctor very often has to be mechal Shabbos to save lives. And the only thing that we have in this world that's me'ein olam haba is Shabbos. So Tov Shabrov from Gehenim doesn't necessarily mean Gehenim and Olam Haba. It means his life here is going to be a Gehenim because he's never going to experience the Me'en Olam Haba. He'll often have to sacrifice the Me'en Olam Haba of a Shabbos if he has to save a life. Okay, anyway. It's probably pretty geschmack to save a life too. The most kosher of butchers is the shutaf is the partner of a Malik. Rabbi Nurai says, Maniach ani kolom l'shabal menim lamedes p'niyel l'Torah. I will leave aside all professions of the world and I'll only teach my son Torah. Because Torah is something you can enjoy in Olam Hazeh and it's still going to be there for you in Olam Hazeh. But all other professions are not so. When you get sick or old, or you start to suffer and you're unable to work, so you're going to die of starvation. Torah is not like that. Will protect you from all bad when you're young and gives you hope in your old age. So it shows that it gives you strength both in youth and in old age. And so it says by Avram Avinu, Avram Zaken, Avram Akol, Mitzvah Nitna. We find that Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah before it was given. Fine, so you see that Avram Avinu observed everything. Major discussion now, we only have 6 minutes left, so we can't get into it, but major discussion on this Mishnah about Rabbi Nurai Shita. Is Rabbi Nurai something that we pass them like, that you could leave aside all Umnas Shabbalim and neglect to teach your child in Umnas in order that you could teach him Torah? So many approaches in the Achronim to dealing with that question. There's a Marsha in Bracha says that he's not arguing, speaking to a more limited audience, to people who know that their child is specifically cut out for this. Marshovi here in Kedushin says that he doesn't disagree with teaching profession. His point is that you should always teach the child that the Torah is the Iker. That's the point. But obviously you have to teach an Umnus as well. The Briska Rav's Ha'ara is that Rabbi Nurai is Rabbi Meir, right? Nurai means light. Meir is light. The Gemara says that Rabbi Nurai is Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says at the beginning of the Mishnah, you should teach your child B'no Umnus Nikia V'Kali. You should teach an easy and light profession. So if it's the same guy, obviously he's not arguing. So you have to say something like that. So the Briska Rav understood that Briska Rav on the Chumash from Parshas Chayesara is that it's giving you the option, that you always have the option if you see that your child is cut out for it to teach him only Torah. Rav Moshe notes that the Rambam doesn't quote the Sugya Kiddushin Daf Chavtes, where it says that one of the things a father has to do for a child is to teach a child a profession. He says probably because the Rambam paskins against it and holds that you're allowed to decide to only teach Torah. And Rav Moshe explains that you can teach your child exclusively Torah when he's young. Doesn't mean that when he's older he should just sit back and wait for people to support him. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos is very, very strongly against that, against letting people support you. No, it means that when he's older he should go out and get a profession. But you don't have to waste his youth on teaching him the profession. Wait till he gets older and he has responsibilities to teach him the profession. When he's young and he's able to learn, let him sit and learn. Okay, Tan Rabban, Kol Shasakav Nashim Surara. Anyone who deals with women a lot is going to turn out bad. Kigon at Sarfim, like the jewelers, Vasarikim, and the combers, Vahanikoros, and the handmill combers? I don't know. What?
Cleaners.
Cleaners, okay. Varochlin and the spice sellers, Vagadim and the weavers, Vahasaparim and the barbers, Vakovsim and the launders, Vahagara and the bloodletter, Vahbalin and the bathhouse attendants, Vaborski and the tanner, Ema Midimahem Lo Melech Lo Koingol, the Ken of a Melech Lo Koingol, the come from the Maitaima, Lo Mishum to Psilin, not because they're Pashal, Mishum to Zil Umnasayu, but because they have a very lowly type of profession, so it's going to be hard for people like that to command respect. There are 10 things that were said about the Gara. Mahalech al tzido, he walks on his side. That's the blood letter. He walks on his side. Verucho gasa, and he has an arrogant spirit. Vinitlo v'yoshev, and he always has to lean against something when he sits. Ve'eno tzara, and he's very stingy with his money. Ve'eno ra'a, and he looks at and he has an ayin hara. He always wants people to suffer. Ochel harbe, and he eats a lot of motzi kima, but he excretes very little because he always eats very delicious meals because people who are going to get bloodletting done generally eat very good meals and they share it with him. V'chashal arayos, and he's chashal on arayos, v'al gezel, and stealing v'al shuichas damin on killing. And the first three things are all gaiva things, right? Because he's a bloodletter and he helps people, so he always has, he's a big bal gaiva. He thinks that everyone puts their lives in his hands, so that gets to his head a lot. Darish Bakapar, Lolim Yalam and other Bismano Umnus Nikivakal. A person should always teach his son an easy and clean profession. Maihi, what's that? Amr of Yehuda, Machta de Talmayusa. Certain type of sewing is a good, easy, clean profession. It'll give you a lot of time to learn afterwards, so that's a good idea. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Ein Lucha Umnus She Overis Mina Olam. There's no Umnus that's not going to exist in this world. Ashe Misharoa as Horav Bumnus Mu'ula, Ilol Misharoa as Horav Bumnus Paguma. Meaning there are better professions and worse professions. Much better. And there are always going to be people for both the better professions and the worst professions. Much better for a child to see his parent in a good profession and not in a bad profession. It's impossible for the world to exist without people who are spice sellers, sweet smelling things, and without tanners who deal with very awful smelling things. But fortunate is one who gets to smell the good things, and unfortunate is one who has to smell bad all the time. It's impossible for the world to continue without both boys and girls. Asher mishabalim zecharim, v'lel mishabalim nekevels. Fortunate is one whose children are zecharim. Woe unto one whose children are nekevels. Obviously, there are many different pshatim in that. The Gra is a beautiful pshat. We don't have time for it now. Rameir amalol miyamin adam lebno umnus nekiyav akala. Person should always teach his child a good, clean profession. Vivakish rachum mishol shavar lechasm shlo. And he should daven to the ribon shom shena nis min umnus vena shiris min umnus el mishol shlo, because it's all up to the ribon shom. Shnei liyakas of liyaz of nu mashem tzvakos. Rabbi Shimon lozer omer mirisa miyamecha. Satani Rabbi Shimon lozer omer miyamei larisi tzvi kaya tzvar. I've never seen different animals with different professions. Famous parnasim shalobitzar, but they still manage to have parnas without any trouble. Vehemlo nivru al shamsheni, they're only put here to serve me. Vaanina vresi lishamish koni, I'm here to serve the ribono shalom. Ma elu shalom nivru al shamsheni misparnasim shalobitzar. Vaanishin vresi lishamish koni. Enu dinshas parnas shalobitzar. So all the more so, I shouldn't have trouble when it comes to parnasa. Elishay rosias maasi vikipachtis parnasasi. But I've been bad. I've done bad deeds, and therefore I've forfeited my parnasa. Shnemar avanasechem hitu. Rabbi Nurai Omer maniach ani kalumnus shabayolam. Rabbi Nurai says he was going to leave aside olumnus shabayolam and only teach his son Torah. Tanya. Rabbi Nurai Omer maniach ani kalumnus shabayolam v'im lamed es bnei el Torah shekalumnus shabayolam ein omed eslo el bimei yalduso. All other professions in the world are only going to be there for a person when they're still young and they're still capable, physically capable. The amazing nuso harei mutal barav. When they get older, they're just going to be in starvation. Aval Torah ein akin. When it comes to it's not so. I'll medis all adam esi. I'll do so. Then I'll send us lachros v'tikva basic nuso. It'll be there for a person when he's young, and will give a person hope when he gets older as well. Basi I'll do so. My mom wrote the pasuk when he's young. V'kavi Hashem yachlifu koach. Yalu ever kanesharim. Basic nuso. My mom. What does it say? Basic nuso. Oh, dinuvim b'seva d'shenim ranenim yu. Okay. Mazel tov on Seder Nashim.